Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 248, Episode 2 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast that is number one around the world on every conceivable podcast chart that is ran by my mother that says we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, October 22nd, and that means one thing. It's National Night Out Day, National Coloring Book Day, and National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. Joelle, what do you like of those three things? Night Out, Coloring Book, Ice Cream Sandwich?
Miles, I think you said October instead of August.
I said October. Please leave this in, Justin, where you correct me. I'm having a lot of problems right now. It's August. Why the fuck did...
See, you ready for fall, too. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I'm honestly... I don't know what the fuck happened.
I'm using this as justification to not pay rent.
I love exactly. It. No, it's October.
What do you mean? It's October 1st or October 2nd. Joelle, of those things, on
coloring
August
book,
2nd.
Ice cream sandwich. What was the other option?
Night out day.
Ooh.
It's weird to say night out day.
Night out day is dumb, okay? It can only happen in the evening. It's a Monday. It's a
organized. Never mind. No. Fuck this. It's an op.
Get out of here.
It's an op. It's meant to fuck it. You know what it's supposed to do? Promote police community partnerships. And they're
It's Leo season, so I don't have to choose. So I'm going to say coloring books and ice cream sandwiches as I get in touch with my inner child in therapy. That is the vibes.
Are you, when you were coloring, like, okay, my method when I first started to like be in the lines is I would do my first lines that were near the line first.
Right, so you could bold
it. So then I could go fucking ham.
And then shade. That's how professional painters paint around like light fixtures and stuff. So I think that just shows that you were skilled at an artistic level very early.
I know how to make sure
this stays neat.
Or at a high pressure household where perfection was king. I don't know what that did to me.
You're the eldest child.
I'm the only, you know?
That makes sense. Okay,
so that comes with its whole other kind of therapy that you need. Anyway, like I said, it's Tuesday, August 2nd, not October 2nd. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Hideo Noho, the Lord of Lancashire. In fact, if you are interested in hearing me talk about my ancestral home, the San Fernando Valley, I'm going to be doing a live show with the podcast 818s and Heartbreaks at Midnight Hour Records in San Fernando on August 20th. I don't normally do plugs up top, but when it comes to the Valley, I gotta let y'all know what's going down. Also, check out this week, what is it, parts 3 and 4 of Behind the Bastards, Clarence Thomas. Robert and I go deeper than I ever thought I needed to on a topic like that. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host. You already heard me evoke her name. Like, like some kind of god. I'm like, please, Joelle, Joelle, Joelle. And the third time, she will make herself known. Please welcome Joelle Monique.
AKA Candyman, apparently. I'll just pop out of a mirror if you say my name multiple times.
But the OG one.
Yeah, the good one. Good one. No, I like the new Candyman. I'll stand firm in this category. I don't care. I really liked it.
Was the new one good?
I liked it. Nia DaCosta directed it. I really like her work. Listen, if you're going to go back to Chicago and examine what happened at Cabrini Green through a horror film, I'm pretty much all the way in.
Yeah, it's fun. And I don't even mean to say like, oh, only the original, because just me being old and only like watching the original. And when I heard the new one come out, I was like, I'm old.
The OG makes an appearance, and it's really dope when he shows up.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, please welcome our guest today. Joelle, help me welcome our guest today.
No, I'm in it. Let's do it.
I wish she'd say no. No.
Fuck him. I'm the guest today. Okay.
Yo, honestly, I actually don't give a fuck. But I do. We do. He's a hilarious stand-up comedian, frequent guest. You may know him from places like, I don't know, Conan. That's like on TV. Or maybe his fucking wonderful show, Boast Rattle, which is a compliment battle, not about smoking somebody going negative, but going to the positive. Please welcome to the microphone, to the proverbial stage, Mr. Kyle Ayers.
Yeah, it's me, AKA.
You are AKA out there in the world. What's up, Kyle?
AKA, no, nothing. You know, all the stuff. Candyman gave me nightmares my whole life. The original one. I saw it when I was way too young.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at a sleepover. And it just gave me nightmares forever.
Whoa.
I revisited it as an adult, and I was like, it's good. It's not like, you know, I was just afraid of everything. But
right.
I did not see the new one either, but I would love to.
Okay. I'm trying to think. There was a tweet last week. I was just thinking about this that said, like, what's a film that gave you nightmares that will always sit with you?
Yeah.
And I have the weirdest answer for that. Or not a weird answer, but I was just curious. Did you put that as the film that gave you the most nightmares?
It perpetually gave me reoccurring nightmares. And yes, I had nothing to do with anything with the plot or any, you know, when you're little, you're just like, I was just picking this up. It was an insane thing for my friend's parents to show a bunch of like 8-year-olds.
right.
A crazy movie. And then to be like, go to bed. And you're like, nah, I'm good for this year.
Like, not after that shit.
Yeah.
The movies that really scared me coming up are equally ridiculous. Alec Baldwin's The Spirit. Which is not at all a horror film, but like
no, but being afraid of him has aged well.
It really freaked me out. I had my dad we had a mock movie theater in the basement. I had to have my dad walk me upstairs. I was like, I'm so scared. And then the other one is Starship Troopers, which I saw way too young, and the whipping scene, and then giant bugs,
Ripping guns, and
SS officers. It was really scary for me.
That was my first on-screen boob I ever saw. Once again, at a birthday party, way too young, we went and saw that in theaters.
No, let children into the theater.
I was actually in a groomsman at that kid's, now adult's, wedding, and asked to give a second speech, which is a nightmare situation. His brother was the best man, and his brother was giving a speech, and his brother goes, Kyle's funny, we'll have him do some stuff after I'm done.
No.
Which is, on the spot at a wedding, is an insane thing to do to somebody. So I just told the story about when Kevin's mom took us to see Starship Troopers, and I saw boobs, and I ate candy and threw up.
A great story for a wedding.
She's just there in a nice dress.
Yep. The film I saw that I don't know why I saw it at such a young age was David Lynch's Eraserhead.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I saw, my dad played that shit for me when I was like 4, okay? And I was like, he was like, oh man, he's like, we gotta watch this art film. I was fucking terrified. And I think this day, it's one of the reasons I don't like shit in black and white, because it reminds me of how, you know, it was like this feeling where like when you watch a scary movie, and it's so scary, you feel like you can't escape what's scary on the screen. Like, you can't ground yourself in reality and be like, I am not in the room with this dancing chicken body thing.
Yeah.
You're like, it's not, it is real, it's fucking me up. Anyway, thanks, Dad.
As you get older, David Lynch stuff becomes scary for different reasons.
Right?
You're a kid, it's very surface level. Now I'm like, he reads the weather every day on his YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of that because it's getting so hot.
the weather in Los Angeles is a balmy 93 degrees.
And he's always thinking of a song, and it's either like the most obscure jazz song from 1908 that you've right. ever heard, or like Get Back by the Beatles. It's like, I was thinking of Get Back by the Beatles.
Upstart band from Liverpool. Yeah. Shout out David Lynch's weird. Him and my mom have the same birthday, I think. Anyway, we're going to get to know you, Kyle, a little bit better. But first, we're going to tell people what we're going to talk about today. First, going to just check in with if golf fans are fucking with Saudi Arabia's new sports washing project, the LIV Golf Invitational. Spoiler alert, they're not. But we'll get into the details of that because they just had their big old tournament over the weekend. Then we'll check in. The Pope recently said, you know, after going to Canada, I might have to retire. And I was like, wait, what happened in Canada? Maybe because it was a series of non-apologies and awkward moments for the Catholic Church. We'll check in with that quote-unquote apology tour from Pope Francis. Then we'll also just talk about just a little update from the moon. Turns out there's some pretty chill spots on the moon that are a nice 63 degrees Fahrenheit all the time. So, moon colonizers, get your wallets out. But first, Kyle, we got to ask you, our guest, what's something from your search herstory, I meant history, that is revealing about who you are?
My search is gender neutral, so herstory or history are both fine by me. Fantastic. From the last thing I Google searched was, how do you know when jalapenos are ready to pick?
Oh,
I have a jalapeno plant that's doing very well. Oh, I only plant that's doing well. It's right out my window.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when can you eat them?
Yeah.
And everything you look up, they're just like, kind of, you know, which is not helpful, like in any capacity,
right.
But they're just like,
you know,
like, you know, look at them when they look like it. And I'm like, well, no. They don't look like they're on top of nachos at a baseball game. So I need you to give me more information.
They don't know they would be long. They don't have the same vinegary taste that they do out of the can.
Right.
When are they going to be ready?
They're like other peppers, though, where they change colors, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, you dive into any world, but the world plant people really, every world has like a deep culture, but plant people seem to be an isolated deep culture. It's like I Googled, like, what happens if no one likes you? And so I'm down this. So it turns out they've been ready this whole time. One caterpillar ate a whole jalapeno, and I'm like, that dude is deceased. Vibing somewhere.
You right got the hungry, hungry caterpillar in your house?
Now he's over in a different plant, that thief. But
he's like wearing a drug rug poncho.
I made a wing sauce with him. It was so hot that it cleared my nasal passages.
Wait, so
I'm just doing this alone.
How big, how big are your jalapeno peppers getting? Because when I see them at the store, I see like some thick ones.
These ones are less store, more farmer's market saddest stand that you're like avoiding eye contact as you leave.
Right, because the guy has three peppers.
But they're doing all right. They're doing all right. I have and they keep growing, which is nice. It makes me feel, the rest, everything else is dying. Tomatoes aren't doing good. Everything else is dying, but jalapenos.
Has the jalapeno, right when you logged on, before we went on mic, we noticed that you're a smoothie gang. Joelle, are you smoothie gang too? Are you smoothing it up?
Yep.
Okay,
green
so
power smoothie.
I can see the color through your straw. Seems like a traditional red berry-ish vibe at the very least.
There's a lot of dragon fruit in this, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, a lot of dragon fruit. Kyle, you lifted your cup. Now, can you lift it into frame one more time? I'm looking at this cup. What is in that aside from dirt?
It looked, I don't know. don't know. But one of the things, coconut, but that's not that color.
Right.
Spinach, but that's not that color. And they're also not the colors that mix together. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It has some ingredients like, I don't know a lot of these more obscure fruits and vegetables and things, and I'm afraid to pronounce them. One time I was a judge on a spelling bee, and I had to give out the words. And this was for a charity spelling bee for like Warby Parker in the Lower East Side. So picture the people that are at this, right?
Wait, it's
like
who are the contestants? Event.
Like the Warby Parker employees, like the CEO, like all the.
Oh my
this
god!
Like their, like an it's internal, like a corporate event for them. It's like their Christmas party.
Yeah.
And I said to out loud to these people, your word is Akai.
Oh no!
And I've never seen more thick frame, glassed white people upset.
Right.
It's literally like I accused them of gentrifying the Lower East Side. They were all so defensive so quickly.
Right.
People were screaming acai. And I'm like, look, I can't even afford the fruit that's your spelling word.
Right. That's also just the irony of those people being like, you're mispronouncing it.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Sorry, no one here actually wears prescriptions. And no. It was just, so I'm afraid to say whatever is in this smoothie, but it's right. A lot of A's and O's and vowels.
Asparagus? You're like, I don't know. Is that what it is?
It's got some asparagus.
Asparagus, right?
I think cacao. I think I'm dyslexic every time I see cacao. I think it's cocoa. No.
Same.
Oh. When I see it, I just think of it as the thing that wasn't actually chocolate growing up. Like when you saw in LA, I remember in the 90s and shit, they're like, with cacao, and it looked brown, and I'd be like, oh, really? And I'm like, that's not fucking cheap. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Chalky as hell.
Cacao has not made its way to Missouri yet, let alone when I was growing up.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're better off.
Yeah.
And look at you. You're drinking healthy stuff, and I'm drinking old stale ranch waters.
I thought you were going to say Old Bay.
Ranch waters.
I'm drinking Old Bay.
I'm drinking Old Bay. Just a nice cup of Old Bay. A
cup of watered down Old Bay seasoning.
It could be tasty.
Kyle, what's something that is underrated?
Underrated. Retweeting yourself.
Mm.
Just retweet yourself. No one cares. What are we doing? Were you like, no one sees anything anymore. The feed doesn't matter. It's all fake. You don't see any of your friends. None of it's real. Just retweet you. Sometimes if I just don't have any jokes to think of, I'll just search my name and then the word sandwich. And then I'll in 2009, I tweeted a joke about sandwich eye. And then I'll just retweet that out. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
No one. I love a retweet, especially when it's something on current subject and I feel like not enough people have interacted with it. I'm like, no. Second time around, let's see what happens.
Right. Sorry, I was up at 2 a.m.
And you missed it.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that no one cares, because I, as someone who doesn't use social media as well as they could, back in the day when I would see friends and bands use their band account to retweet their personal tweet, just to kind of get something going. And I'm like, well, hold on, now you cheat.
Right.
See, now you got bots involved.
Especially because that was Beyonce using the Destiny's Child account to try and push her album.
I wish Destiny's Child had been around during the age of social media. What a gift it would have been for me.
They'd still be together if they were.
Destiny's Child Twitter?
If that episode of Smart Guy came out, there was Twitter.
Are you kidding me? We would have all been on the floor. It would have been insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful moment in history.
Shout out Taj Mahri.
Just retweet yourself. Just do it. It's fine. No one. I think it's
football game against us.
It's another case of overthinking everything, and no one thinks about you as much as you do, which is something I struggle with in my therapy a lot.
100%. 100%.
Just retweet yourself.
And right, and your worst voice in your head is the thing that you criticize other people about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
think
I mean?
Think about
I wouldn't do that. And then
you
like,
think when you scroll by something, that's mm-hmm. what everyone else is doing. They don't care. They're not. I've never scrolled by something I cannot believe they're retweeting themselves, or I cannot believe a screenshot of a tweet on Instagram. You just scroll. We're all sad,
right?
we're all
dealing with shit, man. Pick your fucking battles.
Yeah, it's getting hotter outside, so I'm not worried about retweeting yourself.
100%. What's something you think is overrated?
I got in a conversation about this, and then I was looking at the topics today, and the LIV tour, which looks like a golf tour named after a Super Bowl. The LIV tour made me think I think sports records are overrated. I think all
sports
this like
record.
Whoa.
Like records. I think there's should be 1 to 2 that matter in every sport. I think that no one when you hear about did you know he's the first player to bat 312 on Wednesdays if the Mercury's in retro, and I'm like, I don't care. So just specific. Say he's funny. The only sports records that matter are the huge ones. Most home runs or most points or
right.
The only baseball record I actually think matters is most birds hit by a pitch. And that's one. And that no one's going to break
big unit.
That. They might tie it.
Is Randy the only one who blew up a bird with
someone
a pitch?
Else probably has, but I feel like if you get two, that's suspicious. If you break that record, if you get to two birds hit with a pitch, then I think you should stop the game and do a big Cal Ripken ceremony and everything. But I'm over it. I'm over the very obscure. I know they got to fill time. It's a baseball game.
Wait, so tell me, what are you hearing that is just what's grinding your gears?
I watch
stats.
I'm a Royals fan.
Okay.
And so there's not a lot of positive things to talk about during. I put their games on in the background.
Your vaccination record?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, look, we're winning and losing at that. I thought you meant I put it on in the background. Like my
no, I just like that one player who's like, yeah, you know, maybe if I played on a team that went to the postseason, I'd think about getting back.
Yeah, and then another guy
played for them. Another guy did for this team.
They traded a guy to the Yankees, and he's like, yeah, I'll get this vaccine.
Wow.
But anyway, to be fair, getting the vaccine in Missouri is a way to get beat up. So I think they're filling time in Royals games. It's insane. You have to talk for 3 hours a day about the Royals. So these guys are just like, you know, this guy's as far as catchers who are over 6'5", he swings at the least amount of inside pit. And I'm like, this nobody who else qualifies for this?
Right. I mean, yeah, it's like all they have is like massive spreadsheets, and like, I don't know, dude, I'm going to try and find something interesting about this specific corner of the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I find it so impressive as somebody who plays D&D, which is a game that involves a lot of like rudimentary math, that baseball is like, no, we'll see you D&D and raise you crazy calculus. And
try it's to make, insane.
Not just in how we track our players and their abilities, but in how we recruit and like develop teams over time.
It is wild.
Yeah.
I understand why there's still a certain like segment of the population that is baseball obsessed just for that alone. I like the stats. Give me all that, because I'm sure as hell I'm not going to know them.
I like the stats. I don't need the comparative records and all that. But baseball is a sport that is more fun to talk about than it is to watch. It's like it lives on the page in a good way.
Yeah.
But I don't need to know like. And the NBA is also guilty of this, where they'll be like, well, you know, as far as players under 23 who put up 11 rebound, 10 assist games before Christmas, and you're just like, if Kwame Brown is on the list, it's not a record.
Come on. You don't want him coming for you, too, now.
I'm sure. He has plenty of time to listen.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look, no lies detected.
I have to behind you is a basketball jersey that says, let's say the Valley 818.
Yeah, it does.
And I know that that's like a area code thing, but it's fun for me to picture a team that has 819 players.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like really late that day. And he's like, did we pick numbers already?
Can I be number 16?
Can we do decimals?
I can give you about 16 plus 8, 12, if that works. Or plus 6. Never mind. My math's
as
not
far
great.
As that's players who have triple digit numbers that match up with area codes where their team plays, who've scored 20 points, he's one of the few.
That's what's funny too. Some other, like, even in soccer, there's like all these other things like XG, like expected goals or expected goal threat. And they put all these numbers up when half the time it really, like, over analysis using math, sometimes if you get too caught up in it, really takes the enjoyment out of merely, like you're saying, just observing the people play and being like, wow, cool.
I just don't need to know, you don't need to frame everyone to be like an all-time great player for one obscure thing. I do like baseball and the fact that maybe the best baseball movie ever was just some guys talking about math. I think that's pretty fun. And they're just like, you know, numbers are crazy, right? And you're like, this is the best baseball movie of all time. There's so little baseball.
They're like, oh my God, Jonah Hill is a goddamn gift.
For a sport that you can win by walking the most, they sure do talk about math a lot.
Right, for real. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to keep the sports talk going, but about sports washing.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yes, right before this, you were going to say the LIV Golf Invitational Tournament was something you thought was overrated, but I think it is important that people hear about this. Most people probably heard about the tournament when they saw that picture of Donald Trump like sweating in his cap from like last week, and everyone's like, whoa, and you're like, no, that's from this other thing that's equally offensive. So the LIV, well, first of all, it is the official take of the Daily Zeitgeist that we want to nationalize the golf courses and make them parks for people to just kick it in, rather than becoming these like tax-free havens where people can siphon off the resources and tax breaks. Fuck that. We're coming for your golf courses.
It's okay. Crazy that you called someone's deceased ex-wife a resource.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, we'll get to that part. Okay. Well, maybe we'll start off with that. So the LIV Golf Invitational is this wannabe competitor to the PGA. For those people who don't know, that's like the NBA for professional golf. And the catch is it's entirely funded by the Saudi government. So we've heard of Prince Mohammed bin Salman and his numerous violations in the human rights category, like the, you know, extrajudicial killing of Jamal Khashoggi or the war in Yemen. There's plenty of things that you can look at right now and be like, why are we always pounding?
It is wild to be like, from the makers of 9/11 comes golf.
Yeah, right. Buddy. And this was the thing. The tournament was going to be at none other than Trump's Bedminster Golf Club in New Jersey. And many 9/11 families were saying like, dude, you even said like after 9/11, the Saudis had something to do with this, but please don't do this. So because of all the bad press, to put it lightly, that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is facing, you know, they're doing this thing like many nations will do, which is like, you know, or companies, they do green, like polluters do greenwashing, where suddenly British Petroleum is like, we're pushing the future for like a cleaner, safer ocean. Mm. We're like, really? We didn't see that shit that happened in the Gulf? All right, whatever. And then with nations like Saudi Arabia, they are getting into something called sports washing. And this is something that happens where you see a government basically take over a team or a sport and use the spectacle of sport to create like a positive connotation or relationship with people to be like, oh, Manchester City is a great team. I will not look too into the crown prince who is also running this team because they bring us glory. The Saudi Arabian government also bought like this other English Premier League team called Newcastle United. So they're like kind of all in on using this like spectacle of sport to distract people. And the formula for these kinds of ops is like, it's always the same. You bring out barrels of cash, you get a few big names to compromise their dignity, and ta-da, you've got the whole thing going. And they definitely got the first bits right. They got people like Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson, like Donald Trump and a few other PGA players to like jump ship, take the bag. And the funny thing was every single player who left the PGA to do this LIV thing, every single person was adamant that they're not doing it because of the money. Like almost if you go through quote by quote of people announcing they're leaving the PGA for the LIV, it's always some version of it's not just about the money for me. Or this wasn't a financially motivated
I would
decision.
Only respect them a little bit if they just it's of course it's about the money. They're terrible people. I like money.
Right. Charles Barkley like even started drifting that way and then it got too hot and he's like, yeah, actually, never mind. Mm-hmm. Like I can make money other ways.
I do believe that Charles Barkley has no idea. Like I honestly believe that he'd be like, wait, they're bad? Because he just doesn't.
No.
He's informed in what he's informed about and he's honest about everything. I love Charles Barkley. I really, really do. So I'm glad he didn't do it.
No, and I think he just came around. He's like, oh, I didn't know it was bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was bag. I thought it was a bag. So I showed up for that. I didn't know it was a bag.
I wondered
bag.
Why they brought me all my money in individual briefcases so it wasn't caught on camera. Insensitive joke, and I apologize about it. The trophy is cut up into individual parts and carried out by different people.
Well, the thing is, this over the weekend, we saw the first big test of the LIV Golf Invitational. They promised to be an edgier, cooler version of the PGA, which I don't know how you're going to do that. It's still golf and people wearing khakis and fucking Under Armour polo shirts. So, okay, go off. And they had a jaw-dropping $25 million purse that all the players were playing for in the tournament. They were blasting apparently like top 40 music out of speakers like constantly to try and like liven shit up. Yikes. And they also had t-shirt cannons that would shower the spectators with shredded up DHS documents.
About America. They have not studied America because I could have told you how you could have made this profitable and epic. And it was not by hiring old PGA golfers.
Okay, well, here, let me first finish. Let me
remember the guy
assessment.
Who lost in the 90s? He's back.
With NSYNC in the background. It's going to be great.
Hey, shark hat guy is the face of this thing. Greg Norman. Oh, what? Who?
His sponsorship with Macy's expired 2 decades ago, and he's ready.
Yeah, his sponsorship with Robinson's May Company. Like, what's that? Oh, y'all never heard of that? Never mind. So the thing is, despite all of these, despite having a who's who of turds show up, like you, Tucker Carlson and Kim Guilfoyle and the other like Trump progeny, no one fucking showed up. They were selling tickets for $75 at first. If you wanted to go on the day, they were selling shits for $1 on StubHub.
$1.
The fees cost more than the ticket. The fees were like $5.50 or something like that. So all in, you're paying about $7
to
go.
If you buy a ticket to the LIV tour off StubHub, that is just back-to-back dictatorships you're supporting.
Right.
you are giving half your money to one and half your money to the other.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is like, the Facebook live feeds that they were doing, the streams and stuff, they couldn't even break the 1,000 viewer mark for like concurrent viewers. You know how like you want to see it go to the K, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than, like,
you don't want to know exactly how many people there are.
Yeah, exactly. Not 762, not 283, 1K, 2K. No, it never happened. And in true autocratic fashion, the organizers refused to release any numbers on the actual attendance. Okay. So it can't be an L if the official numbers aren't there. So I do want to say this. Joelle, you said you already know where they fell short.
Yeah.
Knowing the problems that they've had, knowing the abysmal attendance, what kind of things would you suggest to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman?
Okay, listen, I would never give him actual advice because what a horrible fucking person. But if I were to be approached by a company and said, I have bags and bags of money, make golf cool in America.
Right.
First of all, you start with mini golf. You want to get an eclectic mix of TikTokers and sports folks who don't have a specific category.
Okay, hold on. Now you're giving out a viable business idea that some white person's going to steal.
Listen, it's cut me a check, okay?
Okay, cut her a check. You heard
it. I don't know why you called Steph Curry some white person, because I think you already did the first part of it.
You want to get like a LeBron James type, somebody who's really good at their sport but not really playing it anymore, and be like, come get into, quote, like extreme mini golf, right? What do you call that thing? Not a Ferris wheel, but a
windmill.
Windmill.
Those blades are on fire.
Okay? Oh shit! Okay, go on. Right? Go on. You got me.
You. Sometimes they have one where you like golf over a bridge. The bridge is like an actual fucking bridge. Like it's got a full arch, so you got to hit it with like enough speed to get it over. But then like the back arch is angled at such a degree that you need to have like it has to slow down or it's going to shoot right over the hole on the other side. Right. So you got to get really technical with your golf skills. But it's all like silly and big. And then, you know, get a halftime show. Bam, Americans will eventually buy in, okay?
Right.
You make it free for a bunch of the rest of the TikTok people who couldn't play. You tell them to come, bring their cameras. That's free publicity right
there. All you do are even take regular golf and make it like an online multiplayer game where like you could be like, actually, Greg Norman activated the Wiffle Club button and now Phil Mickelson has to tee off with a plastic golf club.
I would watch the whole thing if it was, we start by trying to see if Greg Norman can log into his Gmail with no help. Does he know what a CAPTCHA is? Does he remember his password? He doesn't have his sticky note.
I'm a fucking human, mate.
Will he choke on the last two letters like it's the 18th at the Masters?
Wow.
For some reason, Nick Cannon is the host. I don't know why. Americans love him. He's consistently successful on television.
America's favorite multi-dad.
It's Nick Cannon. He's pre-taped his hosting of the golf tournament like it's his radio show.
Right. Like all irrelevant stuff glossing over the most important things. Oh shit! He has selected Power Drive. It's like, wait, this is from Lee Carvallo's golf. Never mind. In The Simpsons.
If they really want to have this, if you want to try and pull in more American fans to this, I think what they could maybe keep it kind of the same. But if you want people, just start talking about Pat Tillman. If you want, Pat Tillman, who was a former NFL player who died in the army in like the early aughts, and then his name was just, he was killed by friendly fire, his name was dragged. The NFL basically just used him to sell tickets for a long time, and it worked. You go to a Arizona Cardinals game now, there's people in Pat Tillman jerseys. He's like, just start using the military. Do a flyover. What do we have B-2 bombers for if not to circle over a golf tournament funded by a foreign government?
No, we have them so teachers have to crowdfund on the internet to get school supplies. That's why we have B-2 bombers.
I love having retired jets. I think it's nice that they work for 3 years and retire, and then we work and we cannot retire. Like, there's no more Social Security, but one of the Blue Angels jets is having a ceremonial last flight.
Right, exactly.
And I think we just start using the military to pimp it out. Will it be uncomfortable that Saudi Arabia is funding it and they hate our military? Probably. But that's okay, because they all love
our weapons, though.
And this is what I think every sport could benefit with. If not enough people are watching your sport, I think you just need some random, normal person to play it next to the pros. Everything. I think every Olympic sport could benefit from that. Oh, we're doing fencing? Great. First round is a guy versus the best fencer. So you see how hard. Swimming? Just someone.
Oh, my God.
Benefit from just a guy playing alongside everybody. I would watch that a million times.
Put me in that like 100 meter free.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not joking. I'll die trying to do that.
They will cut to commercial before you're done watch you finish.
They will do all the other heats by the time I finish and do the fucking award, the medal ceremony, by the time they pull my body out from the bottom of the
pool. For any sport that if you want baseball's boring, during one inning, and we won't tell you which, one person gets pitched to.
Yeah.
You got to step in there and try and get a hit.
Uh-oh, check your tickets right now, because if you're on the Loge level, section 213, row K, seat number 12, you're up at bat.
Youngest person at the game gets to go bat.
they don't give a fuck. You could be 3 years old. Suit up, motherfucker.
You could get people to watch this thing. If you're trying to get the people who like the people involved with this to watch, just blatant hypocritical military involvement. And those people will tune in.
But if it's a new crowd, it's got to be Nick Cannon and Migos, and maybe Casamigos tequila also. That's how I feel that's... I think if Casamigos isn't there, is it a thing? I feel like that's the new shorthand for cool culture. All right. Well, and I don't want to touch on this. Obviously, but we all know Ivana Trump passed away a while back. And she had her funeral, and also she's buried at the first hole tee box at the golf club, so Donald Trump can get a tax exemption for making it a ceremony or a cemetery. Okay, moving on.
Awkward thing.
Did you see the picture of like her?
Yes.
Of her like what someone called aptly a pauper's grave?
Yes, it doesn't have a headstone at all. There's another picture with new wife, I forget her name, standing on top of the grave. Melania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why are you standing on this woman's grave? What did this woman do?
To be fair, you can't tell in the photo, but she is dancing.
Yeah. I've never seen that represented, like someone on top of your grave, maybe to the side.
And it was weird because Trump kept asking Ivanka to get on top of Melania for another photo op. It was very uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
You're grieving.
She has like a shovel in her hand, and it looks like the portion of, typically in a ceremony, you know, you might bury, like you put your little like bit of dirt on top of the casket or whatever before they finish. But the casket's fully covered.
Oh yeah,
and
no,
she's
that
literally
grave
standing on top of the grave.
Yep.
Which, first of all, I mean, listen, maybe she's not superstitious, but walking over a dead woman's grave, specifically your first husband, seems like bad juju to me. Don't
maybe
do it.
Maybe she wasn't fully dead.
Yeah.
No.
And who knows? They do that so like it's harder to like exhume her corpse if they ever needed to do any secondary investigation.
People are really
on
Trump about this. Who amongst us hasn't used our former wife who we cheated on and got accused of raping's grave to get a tax exemption on one of our golf courses? Who amongst us hasn't?
And also to avoid going to trial too.
Yes.
Who wants to go to trial?
Because of the grief.
What is he, Deshaun?
Just like Hugh Hefner, like reserving the grave next to Marilyn Monroe so he could be with her forever. It's creepy.
That's the creepiest thing you could ever possibly do.
Let people rest.
To pre-reserve your plot.
You gotta give it
to
Hugh Hefner. He sure died in time.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean,
he did beat the buzzer.
Oh yeah,
the man was an hour away from not having a good day ever again.
Those last days, I'm not sure how with it he was just in general. That's from somebody who worked at that place. And like the one time he came out, it looked like fucking like the mom from Psycho, like Norman Bates' mom.
He's
in the window. Look.
To like explain to Gen Z kids. He's a difficult person to explain. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain.
If I think about it, I'm sure there's a really, really concise, precise way to describe him that contains everything.
Yeah. He's the year 1978.
He's year 68. Gone a good way. Okay, let's keep going. But I'm not joking. Because of New Jersey's tax break laws, any like cemetery land is exempt from all taxes. Fucking all taxes.
Make it by square foot, New Jersey. Switches up the game. Yeah. How many people are buried here? What's the square footage? We'll give you a tax.
And it's like, yeah, exactly. Who knows if it'll be a full exemption, but like any maniacal fucking wealthy person, however they think about their money, it's like, yeah, fuck it. But put a dead body.
You know who
there
could have benefited from this law was Tony Soprano.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a tax free garbage operation. Right.
All right, let's move on just to check in with the Pope. Pope Francis, last week, he made a week-long penitential trip to Canada. And I'm sorry trip to, you know, going across to apologize for the atrocity that the Catholic Church, you know, their role in residential schools. And many people were hoping that he would pull up as the face of the Catholic Church, the leader of the church, and offer, you know, like, proper acceptance and say, you know what, we fucked up. That was our bad. We need to right our wrongs, and this is how we will make them right. So that didn't happen. just, you know, for starters, like there was a lot of pressure like for a visit because more graves were discovered at the sites of former residential schools last year. And Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission called for the Pope to come to Canada and apologize back in 2015. And only now, 7 years later, did it finally happen. It's like, oh, why would you drag your feet, right? You're going to go and accept your responsibility.
With time zones, though, it's a little under the 7 years.
Well, yeah. For the survivors were quick to criticize the Pope's apology, which, you know, used the language of saying that, quote, members of the church and religious communities cooperated in residential schools, while not actually saying that, like, the entire institution as a whole or the collaborators, like, in this institutionalized abuse and, you know, murder of children. So the Pope didn't really also commit to, you know, the one word that we'll always hope we will see some reality around, reparations for survivors, or funds to continue the search for burial sites. But because there's all this scrutiny, the Catholic Church committed to raising $30 million to, quote, support reconciliation projects for survivors. And people said, oh, that sounds like a decent amount of money. However, if you look, they have what many people called a weasel clause because they just said they would raise the money through their, quote, best efforts.
Well, as we know, these cemetery sites are a tax incentive. So
it's all very murky.
Doing PR for the Catholic Church has to be an exhausting thing for everyone involved.
You either have to fully believe everything they're saying, or you have to have no moral scruples in saying absolute nonsense at the expense of, like, all of these people that have had their lives, you know, ended or damaged irreversibly. But their best effort to raise that $30 million, they raised less than $4 million. So they fell short by almost 90% of that goal of, like, their best, quote unquote, effort. And just so you put all of that money into perspective, they said, yeah, we can try and raise 30. In 2016, the Catholic Church managed to raise and invest $128 million for a cathedral in Toronto.
So some of that priceless art, church. Sell some of that priceless art, church.
Yes.
That and is that, fucking ridiculous. Sorry.
And that is something that they've had to do. Like, a lot of people had said, hey, you know, y'all have a lot of fucking assets that you could, you know, just liquidate and make people whole.
Just want
hella gold. Hella gold up in there.
Have the Pope autograph some Da Vinci Code copies and sell those online. Even the Blu-rays.
Seriously. Oh, hey, what? You don't got a smartphone? Get him on Cameo. Don't give a fuck. Start doing some
Cameo. One Cameo.
Man, the Pope could, for how, like, weird Catholic people are about the Pope, I'm sure you could get up.
Like, I think one of the most optimistic times is when we thought that the Pope was, like, good. Remember this guy?
Yeah.
We were like,
yeah.
We were ranking. The problem was we were ranking him against other popes, and the last one was a Nazi.
Right.
So, like, this one, where the bar is just Nazi or not Nazi. And we're like, right, this guy's got to be good. He washes feet. He's not a Nazi. He used to be a bouncer. He probably isn't just also still a terrible person.
Well, you know, it just means you got to run point for the PR
campaign.
Probably
not complicit in millennia of crime.
Like, he's like, no. See, I'm here to make everybody forget about that because I'm a frail
picture the
old
Pope
guy
letting steam out of his collar. Very, little, very, like, fancy Pope garb. Did
so
the Pope just say
a new Pope? They were like, uh-oh, no.
That's steam when the smoke comes out.
Yeah, it's time to get a new one. It's so gone bad.
In all, just in terms of, like, what this apology was, the Canadian government basically said, like, dude, that really didn't go far enough.
And they know about apologies up there. That is, yeah, like, apology culture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, they even say sorry in their own way that we all know very well, unlike in our fucked up country where we don't know that word at all, actually. It's actually fuck you rather than sorry. And so the Pope at least called for a, quote, serious investigation into the church's abuse in these residential schools. But then they later walked back that statement by clarifying that it was a translation error.
Oh.
And that what the Pope really meant to say was a serious search, not a serious investigation.
What's the difference?
I think investigation sounds, look, a search sounds like some shit you could do on your phone.
Okay.
An investigation sounds like you got to get,
like, actually
in the physical space.
Investigation, yeah, you know, I mean, implies potential results.
100%.
Search is a bunch of people in the woods knowing there's no one alive in there.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, you don't have to do that much because there are thousands of pages in the Vatican that are naming the clergy who were parties to this abuse. Boop. So maybe you don't have to do much except maybe look in your old files, boo.
What you got back there? I hate the church. And I see somebody who was raised Catholic and did everything up to confirmation. And the idea that you would come down and talk to these people and not at the very least have some kind of plan and a whole ass load of cash ready to go day one. Like thousands of babies are dead. Thousands. And y'all are coming off of a scandal where millions of children were assaulted over years, and you helped it happen by moving people around and being like, God forgives, so what can we do? I don't know how they expect this to help them with their drastically dwindling numbers. I don't know what good they thought this would do. Like, it's the base PR. We're in the age of the apology, of the professional apology. So you had to have known better. At least to some extent, your PR. You have great PR folks. You pay a lot of money for them. They had to know better.
Yeah, imagine the Pope drops like a notes app apology.
Oh, yeah. With like the red, like misspelled words lines appearing there too.
Investigation is spelled wrong.
Yeah. It says investigatoin. The fuck?
He screenshots it and we're just dragging him because his phone battery is dying.
Yeah. We're like, no, you look how many unread Gmails he has. Fucking reckless. But this whole thing, right, it's all part of this same pattern of just like, hey, yeah, that's bad. And then when people say, what about action? I mean, this is par for the course for many organizations and industries that have these kinds of histories.
They're truly giving cops a run for their money on taking care of their own issues.
Seriously. And there's this also moment when the Pope was in Canada that he was at this event, an apology event, and he was gifted a headdress. And a lot of Indigenous leaders were really pissed off about that because they were like, this is not something we want to be interacting with the Pope in this capacity to give him a headdress. And he was wearing this headdress during the ceremony, and the Vatican's like newspaper took like a picture of him wearing it, and it basically to sort of give the optics, it's like all good in Canada, Pope flawless with the apology tour, when in fact it wasn't. And there was just, you know, a lot of words, not a lot of action, and it didn't seem like much other than trying to just maintain whatever the church's reputation was, however good or bad that is. And just so you know, for the cost of this one trip, they could have just paid the reparations to survivors.
Of course.
I want to go to bed.
This visit cost it potentially between $50 and $100 million for this papal visit, however you want to pronounce that.
Oh man. Well, they used Taylor Swift's jet, so that saved them a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Cut down on the emissions. I think that's what her team meant when they're like, it's not actually all her fault. We leased the jet to the Pope too. And that's right, that motherfucker wilding. Right. So talk to him, please.
They both have rabid followers.
Although his aren't on Twitter, it doesn't seem like.
Imagine you tweet, I hate the Pope, and then like at Pope Stan 69 is like, God. You just don't understand him.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, really? Have you heard these speeches? Then talk to me about his oration skills.
If we want this to get, I think we need to start thinking of alternative ways to get these sort of situations fixed. We need to start like getting actionable people to do things. We need to make the Pope say something bad about BTS.
Oh, to create like
if,
the
if
kind
the
of
Pope
polarity.
If the Pope said something bad about BTS, there would be irreparable damage done to him on the internet by 11-year-olds. There would be nothing he could do about it. They are the most blocked.
So, okay, and I hate to, you know, like articulate a conspiracy theory out loud, but what we're saying is we need to create like a QAnon type movement where we're saying that the Pope has been against like these gigantic fandoms.
Yes.
To mobilize the fandoms against the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Okay.
Done. I think that BTS fans are like a high school band. They're the largest voting bloc that actually exists. And if you can get them on your side, then you'll be doing okay.
All right. Well,
I one time tweeted, who's more famous, Oprah or BTS? And I have never gotten more replies to a tweet in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
And I've never been swatted more times in my life for merely positing the question.
So just get BTS fans to think that the Pope hates them and that they will raise the money.
I think they're too smart. They're going to be like, look, we weren't fucking with the Pope because of the residential schools. We don't need another excuse.
You're probably
like,
right.
Of course.
You're probably
of course.
Right. They're an educated fan.
The children will lead the way. The children will lead the way. All right. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back to talk some more news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
And we're back. So researchers have recently announced something about the moon. That there are these lunar pits and caves from, you know, old like lava tubes that have collapsed that create these like sort of shaded pit areas on the surface of the moon, that the temperature in these spaces hover around a steady 63 degrees Fahrenheit. What we call, I don't know, in LA, we call that fucking down jacket, scarf,
Canada hoodie, goose jacket,
snow pants weather. And I think in Boston, that means like absolutely barely any clothing on. So I don't know what it means for you, but it is a great habitable temperature for human life. And this isn't so basically when looking at this, it sort of gives more credence to the idea that having a lunar base or fucking who knows, fucking habitation might not be such a far-fetched idea. if you can get around the radiation and micrometeors and things like that. But there are some city-sized areas that apparently like are in this like temperate zone. And it's just wild to think about because I never, in my mind, look, I'm an ignorant non-space person. Like I keep up with the headlines, but I don't know things like what the surface temperature is on the moon. Do any of you know what the surface temperature is on the moon?
No.
Like how? Okay, so.
I mean, I don't know some of like my cousin's names.
Okay. Do you know, can you name one cousin at all?
Yeah, John.
Mm.
That definitely sounded fake.
Yeah. I was going to say that's sketch as hell. John.
That was so reflexive.
What? John Doe.
Yeah. what's your wife's name? Go see. Crindy, for my Arrested Development fans out there. Okay, so the surface of the moon swings between 260 degrees during the day.
Woof.
And minus 280 at night.
You're going to need 70,000 layers to deal with
that. That's a big backpack.
Yeah. So, and also, just so you know, you also have to remember that, quote, daytime on the moon lasts for what we know as 15 Earth days.
Damn,
and night
slow.
Is the same. 15 Earth days for night. So a lot of the ideas previously around habitation were like, how the fuck are you going to deal with 15 days of 260 degrees and then 15 days of minus 280? Like, how do you even build a fucking structure or anything to deal with that, let alone the amount of energy it would take to power something like that, to like stabilize the temperature in a place like that? And also solar power, which is the preferred energy generation source in space, won't work at night on the moon. So this is like, this new discovery has basically opened the doors to like thinking a little bit more about saying, oh, well, there are places that could potentially sustain life. That doesn't mean everyone's now fucking buying up their plots to a new timeshare on the moon, but it's something I had not heard of or really thought about, but apparently pretty significant.
Who owns the moon? When we go to buy land on the moon, who's getting my cash?
I hope it's like a URL squatter, like someone found a way to like this moon, or like there's someone who like squats a social media. They have like he's, had right. at Nike on Instagram way early.
And he's just like, well, looking for some real estate, are you?
Look who wants the Disney section of the moon nook.
But yeah, I never thought in my mind, I don't know why the moon was just always cold. Again, I'm ignorant.
Because it's space and it's dark.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not.
Also,
it's
there's
not
just no world where we're the people that get to do this. Like,
right.
They're like, you got to be rich. You got to be rich enough to already have known this.
Right. That this, like, people, like, billionaires knew this shit 40 years ago.
We will do anything except fix Earth. We will do absolutely anything except tax a company.
You know, I feel like in the, like, the tragedy that is the human race, like we end up going to Mars only to it be like one of those sci-fi films where they're like, you should have never came here, motherfuckers. Yeah. you thought it was bad where you're at? Welcome to Mars. And we're like, ah!
Man, it would be crazy if they called it Mars there. Like, what a guess that would have been on our point. We would have been like, no way. We thought that's what you called it.
Oh, really? We just named it after the god of war. What's that?
We just call it Mars.
We just called it Mars. It's more of a vibe for us. We're like, Mars. Yeah, I like that. Mars. What's up, Mars? Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Just like they're very chill over there.
But every time I read about these going to space, habit, I'm just like, nah, man, I will be left here to heat. Like, you know what I mean? I won't be going up in the ship.
I feel like the people who are going to get off this fucking rock are like, unless you have $3 million in savings right now.
And $3 million is low.
It might not even be.
You die.
You think how many? There are at least 100. I don't know.
All right, let's say what?
How
do many? 5 million per person? Like, that'll be the cost to get off.
I think it's going to be way more than that.
I think it will be.
Because they hate millionaires. They're like, these poor bitches. What? A million?
Oh, so
what?
They're like 600 million.
There are 2,700 billionaires.
And there's not even enough space for I think what they'll do is they'll find out how much money Trump has if he could liquidate everything, and they'll make it a little more than that because they don't want to deal with him.
By like $5.
Right. They're like, we don't need a gold casino no one goes to.
okay, what about this golf course? And the gravity is a lot lower.
You could
drive
there.
The shit out of the ball on the moon because the gravity.
That's that like famous Norm MacDonald joke where he talks about Michael Collins and the lunar land, like watching them down, you know, because he didn't get to go to the moon.
Right.
Neil Armstrong. And he's watching them and he's like, are they fucking golfing? Like,
right.
And then they get back up and they're like, yeah, it was fine.
We're just dicking around, you know, it is what it is.
But this isn't for us. Going to the moon.
Joelle, how many, can you pull up how many millionaires we got?
How many millionaires exist?
Because then I think that's our next play is we need to do, obviously, because millionaires need to realize they're broke as fuck and they need to side with working people to fight the billionaires who, guess what? They don't accept you anyway and they don't want you on their little moon party.
There are, 56.1 million as of 2020.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's dead. That's a wrap. Okay. Yeah. And you said how many thousands of billionaires?
There are 2,700 billionaires.
Damn. Okay.
I think that we don't understand how much poor people, and I mean that's like anyone who's under like millions, I would still put,
right, no,
don't
exactly.
understand what billions is. I've known this since, do you remember the Jurassic Park movie? Not the new one, but the one before that where they like sold dinosaurs at an auction. It's a terrible movie. The people who wrote that movie, in the movie, they sell a dinosaur for $12 million.
It's too low.
How much do you think a fucking dinosaur should cost? So they're like, oh, 12. It should be $10 billion for a dinosaur. Yeah. 12. They're like, $12 million, that's the most someone would pay for something. And you're just like, that it is a dinosaur. It should be $100 billion for a dinosaur.
Right. Someone bought Jack from Twitter's first tweet as an NFT for fucking what they thought was going to be $45 million.
For half a dinosaur.
Someone paid $3 million for a fucking NFT of a tweet.
That's a quarter of a dinosaur.
They're going to have 12 for a dinosaur.
You could get the tail or the feathers.
That's offensive. For 1/4 of the cost of that NFT, you could have been on your way to buying a dinosaur.
That's what was, and it's like, these have got to be the richest, like, this is a private auction, like, it's like a human trafficking auction, but for dinosaurs, and they're like, $12 million. They have that on their person. No one understands we're not living on the moon. I'm sorry. Anyone who makes or listens to a podcast is not going to live on the moon.
No.
In any capacity.
You think Bill Gates listens to podcasts?
Absolutely not.
What if he uses this to be woke? He hears like one episode and he's like, hey, I hear that there's like a lot of poor people who don't think they're going to get on the moon. And I want to let you know, with my new scholarship, I'm thinking about you crusty poor millionaires who aren't going to make it. And, you know, apply now for your Bill Gates moon grant coming soon.
Get your bills. That's going to be the currency on the moon.
Jesus Christ. Well, I look forward to seeing y'all on this scorched earth in the future as we fight the marauding bands of thieves for hydro credits.
We're just gonna do a Burning Man until we die. Like, it'll be fine. They'll be like, we've passed point of no return. I'll be like, great, we're raving in the desert until there's nothing left.
Someone comes up with like the mathematical like perfect dose of a drug so you could stay high on ecstasy for the next like 10 years until you die. And just to be like, look, this is how some people are choosing to go out.
They're burning out. You could go out much worse ways.
That feels better than honestly living in a cave on the moon just to live longer. And then you're around. Yeah. If all the billionaires go and no one else, a bunch of them are going to feel poor and that's going to be uncomfortable for them.
I'm not a survivalist either. Like, not into it. Y'all go ahead and like
give me some
struggle.
Joy.
Yuck.
Yeah.
What? No.
Just look, I'll do Molly in the caves with the poor people.
Exactly.
Like,
picture all of the billionaires waiting for someone to build something. And they're just like,
who
do we exploit?
Yeah. They're like, I think I'm going to go to one of those like proletarian ecstasy death parties. Feels like the most real shit I can experience.
Just the beginning of Blade, but all forever.
Right. With the blood coming down nonstop, too. Oh, what a song, though. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us, man, on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to you, and also what's a tweet that you've been liking?
I'm at Kyle Ayers most places. I'm Kyle Ayers Things on TikTok. I'm trying. But find me on there. I have a podcast called Never Seen It, where comedians rewrite movies they've never seen, and we read their scripts. So if you want to see what a bunch of comedians think something probably is, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for all that sort of stuff and find me on that sort of thing. And tweets, let me find them.
Yeah, yeah.
I have them here on a note.
Okay.
I have two of them. These both made me laugh very recently. One is at Micah Fox. Mike is a very funny comedian. And she said, I'm in Newport, Rhode Island. Every house looks like it's owned by someone who killed their spouse and got away with it. which I thought was very funny. And then the other one I have is from at My Hair is Blue. It is Sam H. Escobar. And they said, I got catcalled tonight. The guy literally said, ps, 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 from his car. And I looked. Got to admire the devotion to being literal.
That's also, that's not, who calls cats like that? I go, that's how I get the cat.
He threw a feather at her. And then I want to give a shout out to everyone who listens to this who thinks I'm Blake Wexler every time I'm on, which is really exciting. There's always people who are like, for a few minutes, I thought it was Wexler again, and it was Kyle. I take that as a compliment. He's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think energetically, I feel like you sound different. But hey, look, you mix them up, you mix them up. Joelle, thank you so much for helping me host today. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet that you like?
Always a pleasure, Miles. You guys can follow me at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueE. Got a couple tweets. Gonna make them quick. At @female_TS. Slut era, I say to myself as I sit motionless in my apartment for the 300th night in a row. And who couldn't identify? We get it. We've all been there. I gotta scroll. Oh, this came out from Pop Crave this morning. 25 years into her groundbreaking career, Beyonce has released her most critically acclaimed studio album, Renaissance. Her most critically acclaimed! I'm shaking the mic. I'm sorry, Justin. Listen, how her star keeps rising is, it's unfathomable. Alien Superstar just took number one from You Won't Break My Soul. We're living in the new era of Beyonce. Release the tickets, Beyonce. We're ready to come worship you. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for this tour.
And these will be accessible to non-millionaires, these tickets, too.
Hey,
although, if you want to get money, close.
Though. It's not free.
Her first show's on the Nook of the Moon.
Yeah. Right. She's like, it's 63 degrees, y'all. Perfect weather.
It would be good. The venue could be called Beyond, say. And I'm muting myself.
Oh, Beyond. Goes Beyond. Okay. Yeah, I love the memes that have come from the Renaissance album drop. I feel like most of my likes are people just comparing the Beyonce album to other things. I'm one of them. Let me just actually play it. This is from @AndyZone6. He tweeted, Church Girl was very born by the river. I was shaking that ass about the situation. And if you don't know, this is a, you know, very viral clip from
the
old days. But this clip does pretty much encapsulate Church Girl in the best way. And if for those of you who can't see, it's some two friends. They're just hanging, dancing, singing. And then one of them really just starts shaking that ass.
I was born by the river. Brick. I was born by the river. I was shaking that ass, bending over, popping pussy. I was making that cat pop.
It's perfection.
That's pretty much the exact energy of that song. River. Okay, and lastly, at Norm Charlatan, this is fucked up. So there's a picture of Mayor Lori Lightfoot at Lollapalooza wearing this hat, and it's a side by side. They're saying she looked like the amateur sketch of the Leprechaun in the Hood video. If you remember Leprechaun in the Hood, this is it. That's Lori Lightfoot. And then they say,
it's perfect. Up. Y'all have got to see this tweet. Oh perfect. My God.
It's crazy. I honestly can't handle it. It makes me scream.
Oh,
who else seen a leprechaun? Let me hear you say yeah. Oh, that's one of my favorite ones. Who else seen a leprechaun? Let me hear you say yeah. I want to go. So shout out that account. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me and Jack on Miles and Jack Mad Boosties. New episodes every Thursday. Like I said, you can check me out on the latest Behind the Bastards. Parts 3 and 4 of Clarence Thomas come out Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. Also, check me out on 420 Day Fiancé. Damn, so many podcasts. It's so wild to say all this shit out loud. Help me, please, and watch them or listen to them. And then what else? Obviously, you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. Where we also link out to the song we're going to ride out on. Okay, we're going to go out on a track from Micaiah McCraven, who's a fantastic artist with a just, you know, wonderful catalog, multi-instrumentalist, producer, very, very, like, hip-hoppy vibes. This is a track with Robert Glasper and a few other people. It's called Mantra. It's just very soulful, but, like, funky instrumental music, so you're going to like that. Check out the Daily Zeitgeist. I'm going to tell you wherever you get your podcasts, because it is a production of iHeartRadio. So go to the Apple Podcasts app, iHeartRadio app. I don't know, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go and then leave us a rating and a review if you could on Apple, because that always helps keep our name, in the algorithm, so new people can join Zeitgeist. All right. Until next time, we'll see you later today to talk about what's trending. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.